Okay, time to be honest. Who saw the title of the hymn we just sang and thought I lost my mind? Anybody? Okay, I didn't expect hands. I just thought there would be laughter. That's nice. Thank you for that honesty. Silence, frenzied, unclean spirit. I'm certain some of you were questioning my judgment and decision-making. But I have been waiting to use that hymn in worship for like 15 years. When I was growing up, during the hymn sings that we would have at church, I'd always shout that title out from the back. This is how church nerds cause trouble. And I usually heard, "All silence you, frenzy unclean spirit," from the choir director. It was never a good thing. But this week, I thought it might fit. You see, we've been reading the Gospel of Mark together. And if you haven't joined us, we're just doing two chapters a week. Real easy homeworks type assignment. This week, we'll be talking about Mark 5 and 6. So I invite you to read Mark chapter 7 and 8 for next week. But let me tell you, chapters 5 and 6, this week, there was a lot of crazy stuff in there. Jesus was really busy this week. I mean, chapters 5 and 6 open with Jesus not just casting out a demon. I mean, he'd done that a few times already in the gospel. Chapter 5 opens with Jesus casting out thousands of demons, all from one guy. And let's see, then a woman is healed simply by touching his cloak. Then Jesus brings a girl back to life. Then Jesus goes home and gets completely shut down by a bunch of folks who will never see him as anything other than Mary and Joe's little boy. Then his cousin John the Baptist gets killed. And then he feeds 5,000, well, probably like 15,000 people if you count the women and the children, and I think everybody counts. He feeds like 15,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Oh, and then, just to keep things interesting, he walks on water. I swear it wasn't that much to read, but it was all in there. Last week, I really gave you 2 sermons pushed into one for each of the major stories that was a part of our scripture last week. If I did that this week, we'd be here until Thursday. So instead, I want to take a moment and acknowledge a biblical truth and then consider a single major theme that weaves its way through our scriptures this week. But let's start with this biblical truth. I mean, this is something about the Bible that is true in the deepest sense of that word true. What I want to share with you this morning is something that is essential for our understanding of the scriptures. And let me tell you, what I want to share with you this morning is completely unquestionable. Now, there are not too many things I give this kind of an intro to. Hope you're ready for this. Here we go. The unquestionable biblical truth. When we read the Bible, it leaves us with questions. Can't question that. Well, you can, because you're... Anyway, when we read the Bible, it leaves us with questions. Let's just get that out there. Let's put that on the table. I mean, demons? Healings? Miracles? Resurrecting people from the dead? If you're not asking questions when you read this stuff, promise me you will never open emails from princes from Nigeria. Our scriptures beg us to ask questions. In fact, our scriptures all but demand it. And I want to remind us that this is a good and healthy thing. One of my mentors always used to tell me when I started getting lost in all of these kinds of things, don't miss the message by getting caught on the logistics. Maybe you have that problem sometimes too. I know I do. It's a common problem when you're talking about things like miracles and healings and demons. There's a lot of logistics I start to question. But I tell you, the best questions we can ask are ones that bring us more than an explanation. They bring us to meaning. Were there really 6,000 demons in the man in our scripture today? Be honest with you, I don't know. But I do know that God can turn around even the most complicated of lives. How did Jesus make these diseases go away? I'm not sure. But I do know that those who came to Jesus were seeking a lot more than a simple cure. They found acceptance and wholeness, and Jesus offered that to them. Okay, seriously, could Jesus really make the bread and the fish multiply? Or were people just really good at sharing and adding to what was already being given to them? Actually, that question sort of has plenty of meaning in itself. I love when questions can become their own answers. When we read the scriptures, like these we have from Mark, there is so much logistical context we can consider. I mean, the fact that in Jesus' time, all sorts of different medical, psychological, and emotional issues were all considered to be demons, and none of them actually involved demons. In fact, the author of Mark intentionally uses demons as a storytelling device to tell the reader something that nobody else in the story knows. If you've been reading along, have you seen this in Mark? The only people, well, the only entities that seem to know who Jesus is are the ones that are the demons. They keep crying out, "Oh, Son of God!" That's how Mark is telling the story. The original audience of the Gospels, they could recognize these allegorical metaphors that are these demons and miracles and healings, even if and or when they did it or didn't happen. Like I said, there can be so many logistical questions. We can get lost. So let's step back and look at a bigger picture. In the midst of these questions that raise all these stories that are raising questions for us, runs a beautiful thematic thread that weaves its way through and then ties all these stories together. It is no accident that the author of Mark tells these stories back to back to back and crams them all into this little section together. In every single one of these stories, Jesus is breaking every single societal norm he can. You know, norms, those understandings, those ways we behave, because that's what normal people do. What a funny phrase, normal people. But we have these things, these expectations, the things we should do, the things people expect of us, the way things work. And there are a lot of those norms held sacred in Jesus' day. There were some lines you didn't cross between life and death, between sacred and profane, pure and impure, clean and unclean, healthy and sick, natural and unnatural. You know, the stuff the normal people didn't mess with, the things society accepted as how everybody should behave. And let me tell you, Jesus was crossing lines and pushing boundaries in every single one of these stories. This was uncomfortable stuff that Jesus did for a very important reason. You know, if you get too caught up on the whole 6,000 demons thing, you miss some very important description of the man they reside within, the man Jesus spent time with. Hear the story from Mark. "And when Jesus stepped out of the boat, immediately a man came out of the tombs carrying with him an unclean spirit. And this man came to meet Jesus. This man lived among the tombs and no one could restrain him anymore, even with a chain. For he had often been restrained with shackles and chains, but they'd been wrenched apart. The shackles he broke into pieces and no one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was howling and bruising himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran to meet him and bowed down before him." Like I said, a lot of questions, right? But this man, if we're not careful, we could miss the fact that here's a person who was bruised and bleeding, who was filthy and, as we find out later, constantly naked. And if that wasn't enough, he lived in tombs. Nobody lived among the tombs. Nobody went among the tombs. The only people that spent time in tombs were the outcasts from the group of people the outcasts had outcast. There is nobody less desirable than this guy. Anytime people saw him coming, everybody left. Everybody but Jesus. Jesus broke that norm. Instead of running the other way, Jesus sits to have a conversation. Jesus takes the time to acknowledge this guy's humanity. And then Jesus spends time working to care for him. None of those things had ever happened in this man's life before. In fact, everyone else, if they didn't run away, had always responded with shackles and chains. That was a norm that Jesus could not let stand. Immediately following that story, the story of the woman who touched Jesus' cloak and was healed. If you get lost in the medical miracle how and when and why, you might miss what she was really suffering from. Here it is, Mark tells it. "And a large crowd followed Jesus and was pressing in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for over 12 years. That's how Mark sets it up, as she's about to touch Jesus and be healed. Her problem wasn't just a health issue. Women hemorrhaging were sent to the edge of town where they were stigmatized, judged, and unwanted. And that was the norm for typical women on a regular 28-day cycle. Imagine the isolation of being constantly in such a state. Every single day. For over a decade. And again, Jesus breaks the norms. He doesn't rebuke her touch. Whoa, don't touch me. Seriously, that's going to get me in trouble. Instead, Jesus recognizes her strength. Jesus publicly celebrates her faith and then sends her not only healed, but sends her in peace. Something I'm sure she hadn't known as long as she could remember. And that experience was anything but normal for her. This is what we see over and over in each and every one of these stories. When the norm was to see an ending in death, Jesus saw life. When the norm was to see scarcity, Jesus saw abundance. When the norm was to doubt and to fear, Jesus had faith. Jesus pushed and pulled and challenged. Jesus found a square peg for every single round hole that society had. Jesus raised every eyebrow from here to Nazareth and back. And he did so because far too often the norms in our world exclude people. Far too often the norms in our world limit possibilities. And far, far too often the norms in our world fall short of all that God is capable of. And these are the norms that Jesus breaks. Now, I'm a firm believer that all we see Jesus do in our scriptures, it doesn't end right there with the words on the page. I'm really grateful that fact was brought to life for me this week by the words of that intensely titled hymn we just sung together. All the years I used to joke about silence, frenzied, unclean spirit, I'd never actually read anything beyond the title. I mean, why would you? That was plenty to joke about in of itself. Never read anything more. Such surface-level engagement on a text is a sermon all its own. But as I prepared for Lent this year, and I knew demons would show up in a sermon. Okay, that sounds funny. But you know what I mean. Once I knew that demons were showing up in one of my sermons, I opened up my hymnal and I started reading. That second verse just knocked me backwards. Lord, the demons still are thriving in the gray cells of the mind. Tyrant voices, shrill and driving, twisted thoughts that grip and bind. Doubts that stir the heart to panic, fears distorting reason's sight, guilt that makes our loving frantic, dreams that cloud the soul with fright. These are our demons. Certainly a metaphorical allusion. But these are our demons nonetheless. And there are so many more. And I believe it's our norm as people today to ignore, avoid, and minimalize such thoughts and feelings. Because these are difficult things. We feel vulnerable. We feel scared. I mean, doubts and fears and guilt, all these negative emotions that can twist our thoughts and trouble our hearts. And if we acknowledge them, we also, what if we risk being an outcast once people find out this is what's going on in our lives? And into this frenzied tension walks Jesus. For as we've seen in all of his relationships, these are the kinds of things that Jesus wants to see let go. Just as he did then, so he seeks to on our journey of relationship now. These are norms that Jesus will not allow to remain. The societal, religious, and family norms that give these metaphorical demons power over us, Jesus breaks them and invites us to leave them behind so that we might be made whole. For I believe we can find ourselves in each of the stories that we heard today. We can be freed. We can be healed and made whole. We can find new life. We can share in the bread of life abundantly. And we can find Jesus coming to us in the storm. This is all how Jesus challenges the things we think have to be. And I tell you, the only norms that Jesus will accept are ones that bring life. Norms that create community where we can find ourselves welcomed as we are, supported by the company of others who are just as human as we are. Because these are the people with whom Jesus walks on a journey of relationship. Amen.